Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Joining us, as always on a Wednesday, is Dr. Carl. He is our Australian science communicator. Good morning. How are you doing today?
Very well. Thank you, Dr. Howard.
Excellent. Tell us the difference between baking soda and bicarb. No.
Yes. This has been...
And baking powder. Mm-hmm. It is very, very confusing.
It is very confusing because they gave it the wrong name.
Okay. I hate it when that happens. Okay. I have the wrong name.
They had the wrong name.
No, I have the wrong name. They should never have named me Howard. It's the wrong name for me. So I know what it feels like to be bicarb.
What should you have been instead of Howard?
I don't know, but Howard's very uncool.
How about Howard the Conqueror? Howard the Glorious?
You know what? I'm actually kind of liking Howard the Glorious. Yeah, you know what? I could work with that. We could work with that. Let's go back to bicarb.
Okay, so there's stuff called baking soda, which is also called soda bicarb. Now, the soda stands for sodium. That makes sense. Now, have you got a pen and paper there, Dr. Howard?
I do.
Okay. Now, write down the symbol for sodium, which is big N, small A.
Yes, got it. Yes.
Okay, so that's big sodium N, or soda. Mm-hmm. Then write down capital H, which is standing for hydrogen
Howard,
atom.
Howard the Glorious, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yep, Howard the Glorious. Mm-hmm. And then C, capital C, capital O, which stands for an atom of carbon. Mm-hmm. And then the O, put a little 3 next to it and hanging down a bit.
Yes.
So that's NaHCO3.
Right.
Okay, that is the stuff they call baking soda, or sodium bicarb.
Right.
Now, notice that the CO3?
Mm-hmm.
That's a single carbonate. There's not two carbonates in it.
Goodness.
It's just one. It should be called soda monocarb, not soda bicarb. They have lied to us, and this is something that goes right to the top, and we should take it to the United Nations.
I'm outraged.
I am outraged too. Now, this stuff, the sodium hydrogen carbonate, which they wrongly call sodium bicarbonate, when you heat it up or give it a bit of acid or both, it breaks down and gives you carbon dioxide. The carbon dioxide is trapped by the glutinous, stretchy molecules inside the wheat, and then that gives you the dough rising up and giving you a delicious cake or bread. Now, you can make bread with sodium bicarb or baking soda, and that's called soda bread, and it's a little bit alkaline. It's got a little bit of a bite.
Mm.
So then they come up with another chemical, which is called baking powder, which is baking soda, plus, to compensate the alkaline flavor, the alkaline bite, they add in one or more acids, which also will help it break down to give off the carbon dioxide. And so you might have cream of tartar as an acid, which is actually potassium bitartrate. We might have another acid called sodium aluminium sulfate, or another acid called monocalcium phosphate. The point is that baking powder is baking soda, which is kind of alkaline, with a bit of acid added, or some acids, to take away the bite and to also help you make the gas. But the point is, there should be no bite. It should be sodium monocarbonate, not bi. They've lied to us.
You know what? I think I'm going to go, when I get home, into the kitchen and just and make the corrections. I'm sure that my wife would appreciate that.
Yeah, just get a little marking pen.
Yes,
whoever's got
exactly.
The bi, chop out bi and put in monocarbonate.
Right. At least I know what I'm doing this afternoon. Tell us about bed sheets. Before you do that, 34519 or 0618951019, how often do you change your sheets at home? That's what I want to know from you. Dr. Carl, how often should we be changing our sheets?
Well, on average, every 2 weeks, on average, but in Australia, it varies from once a week up in the hot tropical north to once every 6 weeks in the colder or more high-altitude climates. But in the United Kingdom, a survey in 2018 found that the average time to change the sheets and pillowcases for washing was 24 days. That's 2 to 3 to 4 weeks. And wait for it, 4% of British people wash their sheets once every year.
Oh my goodness, that's not okay.
No, you could get enough oil out of their sheets to run your car, to change your oil with. So now here's a little summary. It's 1 to 2 weeks depending, but you should wash the sheets more frequently if you have allergies or asthma, or if you happen to sweat excessively, or if you eat in bed, naughty, naughty, or let your pets or your children sleep in your bed, or you have an infection or a boil on your body, or if you sleep not in pajamas, or you do not shower before going to bed, but instead go to bed at the end of the day and have your shower in the morning. Under those conditions, you should wash the sheets more frequently.
Wow. So it is interesting to note, I'm just taking a look at some of the messages. Karen says once a week. Charles says once a week. So it definitely does seem to be that, a few of our listeners saying weekly, which is good. We're comfortable with that.
Yeah. Right. Now, on average, each day you will shed 1.5 grams of dead skin cells, which is enough food for 1 million dust mites. Now, dust mites are little creatures with six legs, and for me, the fact that there's hundreds of millions of them living in your bed has always raised for me the big question, where do they get their shoes from?
Yeah.
Right, I know. Yeah. Other nasties that come off your body include germs and body oils and pollen and allergens.
Some of us are very dander. I happen to be very allergic to dust mites, but obviously it must probably means that it has to reach a certain level then.
Ah, okay. Saying. Now, I've got two special clues for you. First one, if you have in your house a soft toy, which on the care label says that it cannot be washed at a high temperature, so you can't kill the dust mites with hot water, put it in a plastic bag and leave it in the freezer for at least 12 hours.
Wow.
This will kill the dust mites. But in general, what degrees C, and that will kill all of the dust mites and most of the germs. But when you put your sheets in the washing machine, don't just sort of stuff the washing machine very full, because you want to have free movement of the water physically moving through the sheets, getting access to everywhere. And if your washing machine has a central agitator, do not wrap the sheets neatly around the central agitator. You think, oh, look, I'll just make it all neat and tidy. No, that can make the sheets wrinkle or even tear. And if you want to go a little bit extra, add some distilled white vinegar to the bleach compartment of your washing machine. This makes your sheets clean while keeping them soft. And it is in general best to dry your sheets on the clothesline because it's gentle and you get ultraviolet. If you have to use a dryer, don't use the high heat setting because that'll reduce the lifespan of your sheets. But also, there'll be fluff in the lint collection. Fluff is your sheets. So forget the dryer if you possibly can, and just go for. And also, you should vacuum your mattress every 6 months or so.
Well, that's actually very, very good advice. Dr. Carl, thank you as always. We'll catch you next week at around about 7:20. I'm Howard Feldman. Good morning.